knows your name today.
I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6 in just a few moments. We live in a dangerous world. I know that here in Wyoming we feel a little bit insulated from some of the other areas that are more notorious of being a dangerous place. But there are many dangers that we face. In fact, one of the responsibilities that we carry as adults, men specifically in our culture, is the concept of providing protection for ourselves and protection for those around us. In our Western culture, that's a big deal. It's important that we provide protection, a place of safety. Yeah, physical safety from those elements around us, the lawless elements and the other points of danger, but also emotional security, a place where our families feel safe, a place where our loved ones can come and they can share emotions, both positive and negative, and be safe in that place. We owe that to each other. We provide that for each other within our families. That's one of the functions of the family. It's one of the functions of the church, is God says, I want you to do these things for one another in the concept and idea of having a church family. Well, toward the end of Jesus' ministry, he was in conversation with a group of people. Some were his disciples who believed in him and followed him. Some were detractors who did not believe that he was the Messiah, who saw him as a threat to their beings, to their livelihoods, to their future, to their culture itself. They recognized him as someone who had committed blasphemy, and they would recognize that a few more times over the next few weeks after this event, ultimately taking him to a cross. But as this was unfolding, Jesus is trying to describe for them, and the particular passage that we have excerpted out this morning, he is sharing with them an illustration. An illustration they would have found very easy to follow, because this was a part of their world. He describes himself, and he does this in a number of different places, but he describes himself as a shepherd with a flock of sheep. And the flock of sheep are those who believe in him, who have embraced him as Messiah, who would be what we would call today Christians, and have begun that journey and are on that journey with Him, the sheep of His pasture, if you will. Now, while we have a lot of sheep in our world, you can drive up and down the highways and byways of Wyoming, and you will very likely see some flocks of sheep out there. It was different in this day and time. In the first century world, and going well back before that, shepherding was a large part of their culture. Many, many families, most of the families had some form of shepherding going on within them. They had flocks of sheep. Now, their flocks were very small. They would have a few sheep to a couple of dozen sheep. They didn't have large flocks. They didn't count their sheep by having, you know, one black sheep per hundred, so they could count how many sheep were in a pasture by the hundreds. It was counted by the individual. And the parable that Jesus told about the man with 100 sheep, that man was wealthy. If he had 100 sheep, that was a bunch of sheep. And you can go to that part of the world today, and you can go out into the countryside, and you will see people herding sheep. Small flocks of sheep, 8 sheep, 12 sheep, 20 sheep, small flocks of sheep, carrying them to the countryside where they're grazing this off. They were very, very familiar with this in that time in society. One of the things that a shepherd was responsible for was the protection of his sheep. And in the passage that we're going to read in just a moment, that we're looking at today, Jesus is really identifying himself and illustrating himself as the source of protection. And the source of protection for the sheep of his flock, the sheep of his field. And he gives us a series of illustrations on ways that the people of Christ, Christians, find protection within him. How does God protect us? From what does he protect us? What threats are out there that come against us in our lives? Here Jesus gives us these illustrations, and he uses this to help us identify the value, one of the many, many values there is in following him and being a sheep of his flock and in his field. Let's read this together now in John 10, 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs up in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of the stranger. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. All right, let's look and see what he did tell them that they did not understand. First of all, he points out to them that God provides a place of protection for his people. Look at verse 1. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Now, the sheep pen, or if you use the King James, the sheep fold that is referred to here, was something that was very common in that day that you really don't see in this country at all. And what these were sort of universally used pens that were built by the various families and scattered across the whole countryside out in the wilderness for the shepherds, that in the evening time they could bring their sheep into these pens and they could keep them there and protect them both from things that would attack them and keep them from wandering away. Here in Wyoming wilderness, when people turn their sheep loose in a pasture, they have some kind of guard animal. They'll have guard dogs or llamas or burros or whatever, someone out there watching over them. But in this day and time, it was the shepherd, it was the owner of the sheep, or a hired person that would watch over them. And then when evening would come, they would go to one of these sheep pens or sheep folds, and this would be, again, a stone enclosure, not extremely large, but it would have a single door. And the door would not be gated. It would not have a gate that would swing open, but it would just have an expanse, 3 feet wide, 4 feet wide, something like this. The structure would be just tall enough to keep the sheep in and keep predators out. And it would usually be round, and they would bring them in. They would put their sheep in for the safekeeping so the sheep wouldn't wander away and the predators could not get them. And then the shepherd would sleep in the door. In the next verse, verse 7, Jesus says, "I assure you that I am the door of the sheep." In other words, I am the one who was sitting in the gap. I am the one who was keeping my sheep in a place of protection and keeping those who would harm them out. But here he is describing a place of security, a place of protection, a place that was made with considerable effort and that was used by the shepherd to protect the sheep and to keep them from hurting themselves or hurting or being hurt by something else. Now, he does point out here that that while the sheep pen protects them, there are those who try to get into the sheep by using some other means. Now, what he is speaking of here specifically are probably and primarily the Pharisees that would be trying to get to his people and to carry them away from the truth of the grace that God offers through Christ. They were trying to develop some sort of legalistic system. But he says here, anyone who tries to come in by any other means than the door, and then he later identifies himself as the door, they are coming in for nefarious reasons, for inappropriate reasons. The shepherd comes in to protect the sheep. The shepherd comes in to nurture the sheep, to take care of the sheep if any of them are injured, if any of them are sick. He comes in and he cares for the sheep. He loves those sheep. They are the means by which his family is sustained. They are valuable to him. But the thief and the robber, they may come in by some other way. They may come in and try to crawl over some other the walls by some other means. And they do not have good intentions for the sheep. That thief and robber isn't looking over there at the sheep and going, "You know, I really think, I really like that sheep. I'm going to get that sheep and put him in my flock." No, that's not what the robber does. The robber comes and he gets the sheep and he steals the sheep and he takes the sheep off to the slaughterhouse. The sheep do not survive the thief and the robber. Now, the shepherd, on the other hand, nurtures the sheep. There is an ongoing crop for them. They have the wool, they have the lambs, they have the other things for the sustenance that comes from the flock. And so he cares for them. But the thief and robber, not so much. All they want is to take that momentary advantage of this sheep for their own personal gain for the moment. They are literally trying to fleece the flock. They are literally trying to butcher and do away with those with the animals, and it is not for the animals' good. And so this is the illustration, and this is what Jesus says when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. I am watching over you." God has a place of protection. And there are many, many forces in this world that would do us harm. And all of those other forces are trying to get in by some other way, by some other means. They are trying to find some way of getting the sheep, the flock, away from the shepherd so they would be vulnerable. They do not have the best interest of the sheep in mind. They have their own best interest. And that is what the world does. That is what the outside world does. That is where the protection that Christ builds, the sheepfold, the sheep pen that he builds and brings us in and invites us to come into through himself. This is the protection that he offers us. We live in a world where there are many dangers, where there is much difficulty, where there are many threats to us physically and emotionally and even spiritually. But God, Jesus says, "I have a place of protection for you. And I am the way into that place of protection. If anyone else is trying to get in by any other way, if they're preaching any other gospel, if they're promoting any other means by which you can quote unquote come into the kingdom, then they are a thief and a robber and they have bad intentions for you. They don't have your best interest at heart. I am your protector. God has built us a place of protection. And not only has he built us a place of protection, he has given us a protector in the shepherd himself. Look at verse 4. He has brought all, I'm sorry, and when he has bought When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. You see the picture that's drawn here? See what Jesus is telling us? He says, God gives us not only a place of protection, but he gives us a protector. And the protector brings his own sheep outside. Now, when the shepherd takes his sheep out of the fold, when he takes them out of the pen, where does he take them? He's taking them to a place where there's green pasture. He's taking them to a place where there is still water. He's taking them to a place where he himself will be the protector against the predators that would seek them and destroy them and attack them. Here we see Jesus saying, I am the door and I am also your shepherd. I am the one who will protect you. Because it's one thing to have a place of protection. It's quite something else to have someone who is protecting it. And to have someone who has ability to protect, to protecting us. And what Jesus is telling us here is, look, folks, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be the one that that through my love for you provides life for you. And not just life for you, but life that you can live in abundance, life that you can live in security, life that you can live in peace. That all of the things that would come from the outside, that they would distract you or they would lure you away or they would tempt you to walk in a different path or a different way. Jesus says, I don't just leave you out there on your own. You're not just out there, you know, living in some kind of broadcast society to where I am not intervening and I am not reaching into and I am not touching. None of these things are a part of his hand. He says, I want to be with you. And why does he do that? Because he loves us. The same reason he was born in Bethlehem that we talk about every year at Christmas time. The same reason he went to a cross that we talk about every year at Easter time. The same reason God reached into his tomb and raised him from the dead. All of these things come from the hand of God and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he loves us. And this doesn't love us corporately because we're good people and we go to church on Sunday morning. He loves us individually. He loves you. And if you were the only person here today, God would still love you. He loves all of us. That is his presence. That is his person. That is his being. And because he loves us and we are the sheep of his field, he is going to protect us. And he is going to care for us. And he is going to give us the benefit of all of the things that come from having that relationship with him and having received him as our Lord and as our Savior, having been forgiven of our sins and to begin our journey with him. You see, when we know who we belong to, we know who we're going to follow. We follow him because he is our protector. And he is our protector in a dangerous world. Out here in our world, there is still the jaw of the wolf and there is the paw of the bear. And all of those things are threats against the sheep of the fold. But when we have the protector, he cares for us and he calls us and he says, this is the way I want you to go. This is where you will find green pasture. This is where you will find still water. This is where you will find abundance and where you will be able to flourish in life as well as the promise of everlasting life. He says, come, follow my voice. And we who know the voice of Christ, we who have heard the voice of Christ and have received that, and we hear his voice over and over again, we come to recognize that voice as the voice of our protector. The voice who has our best interest at heart. The voice who cares enough that he gave his life so that our sin could be atoned and our life could begin with him and continue with him. And that is who we have. That is who we know. He is our protector. You see, and then those sheep of the field who don't hear his voice or don't respond to his voice or try to counterfeit a relationship with him or some other means aren't of his fold because of the choices they have made and the path they have chosen to go, they'll respond to any voice. There's a lot of voices out there. There are a myriad of voices that are calling for our attention and are calling for us to follow them. There are philosophical voices, and there are political voices, and there are all sorts of voices from every conceivable means and place out there. And we hear those voices, but do we know the voice? Because you see, we are protected by the person, and we are given that protection through the relationship. Look there at verse 5. And they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. And how do you know to run away from the voice of the stranger? Because you have to be able to identify the voice of the shepherd. You have to know that voice. And you know that voice by following that voice. And having walked down the path of life with that voice, maybe through some gullies, maybe through some rocky times, maybe through some hard times, but we've heard that voice and we have followed faithfully. And on the other side, that voice has led us again to the green pasture and the still water. And in his presence, we don't have to fear the wolf and we don't have to fear the bear. We are in his presence. Why? Because the shepherd is with us. He, his presence protects us. And we recognize him and we hear his voice and we recognize the voice because of our relationship with him. Because we've heard that voice before. And I tell you, it is absolutely incumbent upon us. It is essential for us to live a successful life is for us to be able to recognize that voice. Because again, there are a lot of other voices. There are voices that do their very best to mimic the voice and to sound like the voice of the Good Shepherd. But there's just something that doesn't ring true about them. There are all sorts of voices trying to get our attention. Sometimes they even sound like the right voice. They use the same words. They use the same languages. But then they define the words differently. Redemption in Christ means something different to them than it means to us who know the voice of the Savior. And we have to understand this truth. And we have to understand that there are those who are trying to get our attention. But it is through our relationship with Him. It is through our contact with Him that we can tell the voice. And there's the proximity to the voice that is very, very important. When we walk with Christ long enough, we learn that there's no better place we can ever be. And the closer we are to Him, the easier His voice is to recognize and to discern from the voices that are calling from some other way. See, if we're walking close to Jesus and we hear another voice, but yet His lips aren't moving, we can say, that's not His voice. It sounds over here. And we don't want to go over there. We want to stay in proximity to Jesus. But if the choices in our life gets us far from Him, and it is a distant voice, we hear Him calling, it is very easy then to be distracted by that falsified voice, by that fake voice, by that imitating voice. And then we will find ourselves in the jaw of the wolf, the paw of the bear. You see, Christ says, I am coming to protect you. And in all reality, there is no other protection that we have spiritually, emotionally, or truly even physically that is apart from Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one who went to a cross as a sacrifice for our sin. And it is in Him that we find the answer, and in Him we find the truth. And in all honesty, you're not going to find it anywhere else. There is no other door to the sheepfold. There's just not one. And I know the world says, you'll hear this all the time in all the politically correct places, oh, there are many paths that all lead to the same throne of God. No, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. All those other paths that the world thinks will eventually lead to God, They do all lead to the same place, but it is not God. It is a place of destruction. It is a place of terror. It is a place where there is no joy and abundance. But the voice of Jesus, when we walk in His steps, and the closer we get to Him, the more profitable it is, the more valuable it is. When we walk with Him, we will know His strength. And this is what God calls us to. This is what Jesus was inviting the people to who heard Him that day. Some were His disciples, and they believed Him, and they followed Him. Some were His enemies, and they rejected Him, and they chose to go down another path. But the invitation to them was the same. I am the shepherd. Won't you be a sheep of My flock? Won't you believe in Me? Won't you trust Me? Won't you let Me protect you? With the hedge I will build around you, and then protect you in the path in which I will lead you. He tells us, I have green pasture for you. I have still water for you. Now outside the protection of Jesus, there's the wolf and the bear. But inside His protecting hand, there is the abundance. Jesus invited these people in His day, and He invites you and I today to this truth and this reality. How will we respond? If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never entered into the sheepfold, if you've never embraced Him, would you have the wisdom that we saw at the beginning of this service in the lives of these children as they professed Christ, as they accepted Him and began their journey with Him, and then testified to all of us here today through their baptisms that they have died with Christ, they've been buried and raised again, their sins have been washed away, and now they walk in a newness of life? Won't you have the wisdom of a child that Jesus invites us to? If you've never accepted Christ, won't you consider Him today? And then if you have accepted Christ, let me encourage you to let Him examine your life through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak to you today. And see, is there anything in my life that keeps me from living in the abundance? Am I hearing alternate voices that are calling me in a different direction that I know will lead me to destruction? But yet, is the voice of Jesus before me? Can I get back to going toward His voice and walking in His path and in His way?